Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron.
Okay.
Oh man, they snuck that in there. You see that? It's www dot, and they go blog talk radio dot com. www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook by going to the search bar and typing in the Matthew Aaron Show. You will click on that, and then you will click like, and you will become a follower of the show. I don't like the term, but that's the term they use. Stitcher, we're all over the Stitcher. We're on the Stitcher. Every episode posted to Stitcher after the show, along with iTunes, where you could subscribe and leave your comments at the bottom of the page. And if you subscribe, you'll never have to remind yourself to download the show. It'll automatically download.
50 comments, please. No bloviating.
Yeah, no bloviating. But the best thing for you to do, of course, is to always go to the website, www.thematthewaronshow.com, where you can hear our highest-rated episode ever from Monday here at 603 North Hollywood Way, Tay, Chicago, where the chalkboard's erased, so I can't read about all the mini deep dish pizzas.
But there's deals.
You can come to 603 North Hollywood Way here, Tay, Chicago. But if you go to www.thematthewaronshow.com, you can listen to our highest rated episode ever from Monday. John Barrowman was the guest. And, yeah, that one really took. That was a big one. I guess Barrowman's got a big following.
Big following. The discussions were spirited, to say the least. A lot of information about the business and shitting, actually. Those two things I take away from that last show. Lee Capreas, hello, sitting
Lee
here.
Lee Capreas, I like
at Lee Capreas on Twitter.
But I did like that.
That was
good,
the most
that was a good,
fecal.
That was a good intro.
Yeah.
That was a good intro. Yeah. You got in your little comments first. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like how that worked.
Yeah,
we were just talking about Lee has a gig we'll get to in a second. We're going to talk about David Koechner's joining us. Jeff Garland's joining us. It's another loaded show.
Yep.
I just got an email from my gym reminding me to lock up your goods that you bring to the gym to prevent theft. Who brings stuff to the gym? What do you bring to the gym?
Gym rats like you.
First of all, credit cards, everything I leave at home. Everything. All I bring
you don't
is
need
my
anything.
Driver's license.
Yeah.
Driver's license, headphones, that's it. That's all I bring to the gym.
Uh-huh.
What do you bring to the gym? Oh, you don't go.
No.
No, that's right.
Hang on. What's up?
Oh, just watching.
Okay.
Just
watching. We have a spectator.
Oh, did you think that was like David Koechner in disguise?
No, I thought he was here before us.
That's what he thought. He thought you were disguising yourself as David Koechner.
This gentleman was just dining here at Taste, and he thought he'd come over and check us out. How are you, sir? Good.
That's good. That's good. So, David Koechner will be joining us. Talk about your gig tonight at Corky's. You're headlining.
It's at
Corky's.
I am headlining, and this is in Sherman Oaks. It's on Van Nuys Boulevard. It's at 7 p.m. The show is free. Free. It's Corky's, which is a diner, and in the back of it, there is a little tavern, and they have shows there every 2 weeks on Wednesday, and the gentleman's name is Jake, nice gentleman who is putting the shows out under the label called Monkey Head Concepts. And you can go to his Facebook page for Monkey Head Concepts and monkeyheadconcepts.com. And they have this show, and he's going to be putting up others like it. And the key to a show like this is he puts on only a finite number of people. He doesn't, you know, it's not a four-hour open
not
mic.
10 people on the
no.
show.
Well,
I checked. There's six?
There's 10 people.
There's 10? Oh, there
but,
is 10.
But they have two headliners, and the show is only 2 hours long.
Are you one of the two headliners?
Yes. So I'll be doing important. 15 and a...
Are you going to plug the Matthew Aaron Show before your gig?
I will this time.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'll do
it's
it.
Important
you know,
to do
got to start to do that.
It's important to do that.
Well, I'll tell
Pat
them...
Pat Tobias will be very upset about your non-Facebook promoting.
Yeah.
And you're no promoting before stand-up gigs.
Yeah. Well, it's usually, you know, I don't do too many showcases, so and I'm doing more of them now, so it's good to promote the show for that. And people do... every time... First of all, this room, really good audience. Usually a lot of people are there. A lot of non-comics. People come to just watch the show.
Yeah.
They're very responsive. Pretty much everybody up there kills or gets laughs, and some people there, you know, need, you know, got to get a little more practice in, but even they don't bomb.
So it's a good room.
It's a very good room. And, yeah, the guys...
Sounds like it's a lot of fun, though.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah. And they have a happy hour that is good there. They got, like, $2 PBRs and $3 well drinks till a certain time. And
so Corky's on Van Nuys and Sherman Oaks, 7 p.m.
If you want to see the face of the Matthew Aaron Show...
So to our 20,000 Twitter followers and... How many listeners we got today? Corky's. That's good. So our listeners from Italy won't be able to join you, but
shamefully not.
I'm sure we have a couple Sherman Oaks listeners, huh?
And our surplus of listeners from the last show who are not listening because John Barrowman is not on.
Yeah, right. Or it was Nadia Lanfranconi that brought in all the listeners. It's replacing Lee Capreas.
That Tuscan siren.
David Koechner's joining us, I guess, at 4:10. He's not here yet, but he will be. Of course, everyone knows
is
David
Pat there?
Yeah, I finally talked to Pat.
That's good.
Of course, everyone knows David Koechner from, I guess, most famously, Anchorman.
No, you don't know him?
Anchorman?
What's your name? Joe. Hi, Joe.
Have you seen Anchorman?
No.
Have you seen The Office?
Once or twice.
Okay.
Joe does not watch a lot of TV or movies, huh? NCIS. Well, we had on Brian Dietzen from NCIS a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Palmer.
That's right. Okay.
That's right. We had him on 2 weeks ago, or last week. Last week it was.
Okay.
Yeah. See, you need to come by on Wednesdays. You never know who you'll see. Sometimes Montaigne comes in and visits. You have?
Yeah. Yeah, Dennis.
We talked about Dennis on Monday.
It was that day. Yeah, Monday that is.
Very disappointing. We found out in the news, I guess, that Dennis had a lung cancer.
Yeah.
Resurfaced. He had it, and it resurfaced, and they don't know if that caused the lung clot or not. But
too bad.
He had a blood clot in his lung, and that affected his life. And unfortunately, we lost a very, very good actor.
Yeah. Very good guy.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting a little sick and tired of the phrase character actor, though. I'm seeing that everywhere. Everyone's saying what a great character actor he was. He's just a great actor.
An actor, yeah.
You know, he was a lead in a bunch of things.
Yeah.
A bunch of things.
What character is he always playing? A guy who lives in a big city?
Yeah,
I mean... can't really...
You know what,
a character actor is any guy who's not like a young, lantern-jawed guy that they're trying to make into a lead. Like, anybody who isn't Chris Hemsworth is a character actor.
Yeah, right.
I think.
Oh, that movie with...
Yes, right.
Yeah, Dennis does. Dennis did a great New York detective and a great Chicago detective.
I like Joe here kind of just talking with us.
Yeah, I do, too.
Off to the side.
I do, too.
He's kind of like Statler and Waldorf together.
There you go.
Oh.
There you go. He's a New Yorker.
Okay.
See? So you watch Law and Order. All of them. See?
Okay.
So he saw Dennis on Law & Order, probably Crime Story back in the day, maybe a few other shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dennis was a great, great actor. And Mariska, that's who we need to get on. I am agreeing with you 100%. I'm going to go to the TCAs at the Beverly Hills Hilton this week just to see if she's there to stalk her down.
Yeah,
see if
what?
She flew
Wait.
In. Well, the TCAs is the Television Critics Association. They get together every, like, 6 months or so. At the Beverly Hills Hilton, and then January, I want to say they get together in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. So my buddy Will Harris is in town. Shout out to my buddy Will over at the AV Club, which I believe is the Onion, too, right? The Onion owns the AV Club.
Right.
And Will, of course, does all their high-profile interviews. He's a very good interviewer, better than me. But Will is there right now, so I'm thinking about going to hang out with my television critic buddies and mooching off of them for some connects.
Okay.
Getting some interviews.
Hey, you got
to
do it.
You're not allowed, like, you have to be in the Television Critics Association to go, but not to go to the hotel bar.
No, yeah.
And by
right.
the way, that's where everybody goes, but the hotel bar.
Yeah, but that bar, you and I are more Four Seasons type guys because that's where the people go who don't give a shit as much.
Yeah.
Like, the Hilton is very, you know... That's the white gloves hangout.
Yeah, yeah, it sure is.
The Hilton, the Four Seasons is the get fucked up and get a hooker hangout, and we like that environment maybe a little better.
That's good. The yes, we do like that. I like the environment for sure a lot better.
Yes.
David Koechner, of course, is going to be joining us. Of course, we're just talking about Anchorman. He plays Todd Packer on The Office. DavidKoechner.com is his website. He's also on YouTube.com/DavidKoechner. You can see all his YouTube videos. I showed you last week Shakes and Steady and Shakes with David Koechner and Harlan Wayans. Harlan Williams.
My favorite Wayans,
Marlon
brother.
Marlon Wayans.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Marlon Wayans. Happy birthday yesterday to Marlon Wayans. That's what I was thinking. But Harlan Williams and David Koechner did these 15-second vignettes, or I guess you'd call them, I guess they're a story, for Instagram. And it was Steady and Shakes, I believe, is the name of it. But I was showing you that last week. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And they have this gigantic body of like YouTube videos that they do when they're bored. Like, everybody's doing them. The Nick Searcy stuff and the, like, everybody just fiddles around on YouTube.
Nick Searcy's YouTube stuff's incredible.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's acting school with Nick Searcy, who, of course, from Justified. And Nick Searcy, of course, is great. And you got to watch Acting School with Nick Searcy.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I didn't give a lot of credence to this YouTube video crap for a long time. But after having Dan Dobie on earlier this year, now having David Koechner on, seeing Nick Searcy's Acting School, there is a place for it.
When talented people do them, it's funny.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think Nick pretty much comes up with his own stuff.
Yeah.
I know it's not scripted. I doubt it's scripted. And, you know, I know he comes up with his own stuff, which is great. So
you're recommending me the Angie Harmon, Jason Sehorn YouTube clips?
There's Jason Sehorn and Angie Harmon doing... They're married, right?
They're married.
Proposal?
She was being interviewed on
Shay Leno. Uh-huh. Interviewed on Leno?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she got proposed to on Leno. I actually remember that. Yeah, so there's a YouTube clip for you. The Angie Harmon, Jason Sehorn. You can YouTube that.
Thanks, Joe.
David Koechner also has My Asshole Neighbor in pre-production. I'm sure that will be retitled.
Can you get away? There's going to come a day when we can get away with this stuff in the title.
I don't know. It's not right now. It's not why Jack Valenti's alive.
God, when is that guy? Sorry.
No time.
You know what I'm going to say.
Well, here's the problem with the titles like My Asshole Neighbor is it's hard to advertise then between 7 and 9 p.m. on network television.
Yeah.
So, because networks won't let you advertise during that time period with a cuss word.
Everybody wants to get into the act.
Actually, Brad Bell and I, we were talking about, he told me there was this only one funny, well, I shouldn't say that. There's a funny episode of some show on TV, the gay couple that has the kid show.
Yeah.
The New Normal.
Yeah.
Ellen Barkin. And there's this girl on there who has this conversation about how you could say ass and you could say hole, but you can't say, and then they, you know, they do a whole comedy bit about it.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you can't say it on TV. So I'm pretty sure they'll be retitled. You could also catch David Koechner on American Dad here and there.
What's not funny? Joe is writing me messages. What's not funny? What kind of stuff?
The Asshole Neighbor.
Blue language? You don't think...
Joe here does not like... Joe, you do not like the title for that film? Well, maybe David Koechner here can defend the title for that film. And David Koechner's just about to join us. Lee's got to set him up, but I saw him, of course, recently. Speaking of Marlon Wayans, he, of course, did A Haunted House with Marlon. In January, when we had Marlon on, we talked about how great David was in that. David's just a really, really great comedian. He did some Beavis and Butthead, of course, which is great. Anytime we can get a guest on who works with Mike Judge, I'm in heaven. So David Koechner, of course, has worked with Mike Judge numerous times.
Mike Judge, who hates people maybe even more than you and I do.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is something.
He's the only reason to see Final Destination 5. David Koechner is.
Okay. We're bold today.
No, I mean, you know, it's Final Destination 5. You don't have to be in a rush.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this guy, he works with Adam McKay, Judd Apatow, Mike Judge. Everybody realizes the comedic brilliance of David Koechner. Get Smart, Steve Carell and him have worked together numerous times. Will Ferrell, of course, works with David Koechner pretty often. He seems like the go-to guy to call when you need someone really funny in your film.
Yeah. Although he
especially do odd characters like in Let's Go to Prison.
Yeah, but
where he plays Shanahan.
That's right.
Right.
But he, I worry that they might want him to be like Hollywood's favorite asshole redneck.
Like Thank You for Smoking.
Yeah. But he gets that role quite a bit. You know how they get people to be the same person.
Yeah. I kind of feel like. That's because he's from Missouri, though, right? There's
right.
a little bit of that, right?
A little bit of that.
That
yeah.
he's just Missouri.
Yeah.
But David's going to be joining us in a moment here.
In a moment. And the Jeff Garland interview, we should say, has been taped. It is not going to be a live interview. We went in and did this.
Yes, Jeff Garland's interview we will play after this one. We are promoting Dealing with Idiots. Dealing with Idiots is Jeff's new film, which you can catch on IFC On Demand right now, On Demand. And of course, you know Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm and what else? Jeff's in Daddy Daycare, tons of things. And you can catch him in the Goldbergs this fall on ABC, which looks like a really good show. I've not gotten to see the pilot yet, but I've seen a trailer for it. It looks very, very funny. So a very funny show coming our way here with David Koechner.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
So it's a very funny show here with David Koechner and Jeff Garland that we have here. I'm sorry, I think we got cut off there for a moment. We're here at 603 North Hollywood Way, Tay Chicago, here in Burbank, California, home of Arlene Montaigne's restaurant, Tay Chicago. And, of course, come on by for the mini deep dish. I like it. It's a sausage one I like. But I get the chopped salad usually.
David's getting food.
David's probably in a Maxwell Street, a Polish? In a Polish with some grilled onions?
He was asking about the deep dish.
Okay.
I told
okay.
him it's tasty, but you okay. will need to lie down afterwards.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that is not an exaggeration.
The Italian beef. You like the meatballs? Joe likes the meatballs.
Joe likes the meatballs.
I'm with you.
All right,
I'm with Joe.
Joe
on that. The meatball sandwich, right?
Okay.
The meatball sandwich is good.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Hommel gets the meatball sandwich all the time.
Yeah.
I'm doubting Ken Hommel had as good of a meatball sandwich at San Diego Comic-Con, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, Comic-Con.
Do you think they have any good food at Comic-Con?
But do you think here's a better question. Do you think Comic-Con fans care?
No, but the food's got to be awful.
As long as it's got cheese on it?
It's all overpriced. It's like $5 hot dogs and like $10 nachos, and it's just disgusting.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting. There's David Koechner.
Right up the block from there.
What's that, Joe?
David, how you doing?
Check. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Thank you
all
for coming out for the live sound check.
I can hear you. Can I tell you, this is a big week for us, because we've got John Barrowman, who Pat's been trying to get for like 2.5 years, and David Koechner, who I've been trying to get from day one. I believe Craig Bierko and I were talking about who would be great for the show, and I go, and we decide David Koechner. And
wow.
It's been like a two-year hunt for David Koechner.
Thanks for coming
he's
in.
Finally able to join us.
I guess I got to ask, how'd you get my email?
How did we get your email?
That's how we connected, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. From somebody.
From somebody.
I'm sure I got it from somebody.
I'm just a co-host.
Who.
Don't look at me.
But I responded, right?
Who? Yeah, you did. You
but
did.
It just, yeah.
I think it was right after I did a show with Adam McKay that I
okay.
hit you up.
All right.
And that's it. But I didn't get it from Adam, I don't think. But Adam, you just worked with him again on Anchorman
yep.
2. Of course, I was just talking about before you arrived how you're one of my favorites, because you've worked with all my favorite people, from Mike Judge, Marlon Wayans, Adam McKay. Just like the best people in comedy, including yourself. And we were just talking about you're in Harlan Williams Instagram
oh, cool.
shorts that you were doing. And by the way, like I said, www.youtube.com, do the /, and go to David Koechner. David Koechner, you put in after the /, and you get all David's videos. But on your Instagram, you and Harlan Williams did these little bits. And I listen to Harlan's podcast. I love Harlan.
I love him.
I think he's the funniest fucking dude on the planet.
Agreed.
I really do. And it's a buddy cop short. Now, how did this idea all come together? How did this come about?
A couple years ago, Harlan and I were both in Vancouver at the same time, at the same hotel, shooting two separate movies, and we got a chance to hang out because I've known Harlan. My first scene I ever did in a movie was Wag the Dog.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Harlan and I are in the first little piece of that scene.
You're a director, right?
Yeah, a commercial director. And I think Harlan and I had met, in 96 at the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Okay.
And then we connected there again. So I've always been a fan of Harlan. I think he's just incredibly funny.
I do too.
Yeah.
He's great.
And so he and I were there talking and trying to come up with show ideas or movie ideas.
Yeah.
And one of them that tickled me was if I was a steady cop and he was a shaky cop, just because he was like nervous. And so when this Instagram thing, someone told me, hey, there's Instagram, you should do something, I thought of Steady and Shakes.
Yeah.
And so Harlan and I sat down and came up with a bunch of different vignettes that would just make, maybe were cops that would make him nervous, right? And then some of the guys I worked with, Joe Homakay and James Penland, go, why don't you guys just do a movie? Like an Instagram movie. I'm like, oh, wow. And so we took all of our compilation of little scenes we're going to shoot, kind of made an arc of it,
yeah,
and then shot them. And you have to use all the sound and props real time. You can't go back and edit anything. It's all done right there. And we had to do it like last week, Sunday, a week ago. I can't remember. I was heading out of town on an RV trip. Harlan was heading out of town to go to Montreal and then go fishing.
Right.
So we only had one day to do it. And it took a lot longer than I thought. That's why we shot seven scenes.
Oh, all that shit takes longer than you thought.
Yeah.
It's like a two-minute video, but it probably took like 8 hours to shoot.
Oh, right. Plus, all I wanted to do was I had to pack the RV because we're taking off on this eight-day road trip the next day. So we had to call it halfway through. I wish that the last scene I shot was just that. Like, I got to pack the RV now.
That's great. I love Harlan.
I love him.
His website is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I was showing Lee this video on his website where he was stir-frying electronics.
Yeah.
Things around the house.
And they're just...
He was just stir-frying things.
Hey, gosh. Yeah. Here's a little Kung Pao electronics for you. Hope you like it. Stir that crap up. Stir it up. Huh?
That was so great.
That's the best. Add some wasabi. What is it, sushi all of a sudden? I love him.
That's a really good
impression. It's a good Harlan.
Thanks. What is this, a podcast? Or a restaurant? Hey, excuse me, waiter?
His podcast is great, too. Why don't you have a podcast? You don't got one.
I did one briefly with my friend Jeff Ulrich from Earwolf. I don't have the time.
Just don't have the time?
I don't.
Too busy.
We were doing one called Love Dad because I've been a father for 15 years. He's been a father for a year now. But it was kind of like old dad, new dad.
Yeah.
And we were just recording once a week. But I realized I wasn't putting the time in.
Because
you got to prep. And to be really good, you should listen to it, edit it, know how to improve week to week. My life was just too busy where I couldn't really tend that garden. So I told Jeff, I said, I'm sorry, I can't. I don't want to not do this.
Yeah.
At first I was excited and I was like, oh my God, I can't even find the time to go down to Hollywood once a week for 2 hours. It's just because it takes, three by the time you leave your house. Anyway, so it was just a time issue.
Do you live in Hollywood or do you live out?
No, we live in the Valley.
You do live in the Valley.
Okay.
A good man.
There you go.
Now, is this live?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I take a bite of this Italian beef?
Yes, we'll talk.
Yes.
I'm going to be eating it.
We'll talk while
you
eat.
One of my favorite guests, Steve Terrell, who I have on all the time because I love Steve. But Steve's a famous
music
guy.
You'll need plenty of napkins.
But, yes, he eats quite frequently while on the show.
Yeah.
And it's always fun.
But he eats and does the interview. So he'll be like, well, we just recorded the interview. That's great.
Well, last time we had Steve on, though, he was paying attention to Tracy the whole time. So
Which,
different.
Yeah. I get it.
Yet the same.
Yeah. His attention is always elsewhere.
I got to tell you, so my favorite thing about David Koechner, once again, is he's...
Wow, why wasn't I on this before? My God.
You got to be on this.
Right?
Yeah, the show where they feed you?
Good food.
Food and compliments? What could be better?
Food and compliments, and compliments to Joe and Arlene Montaigne.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's some Criminal Minds Italian beef, right?
Criminal Minds money.
I've worked with Joe. We did a live reading of... the Bears movie a couple years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
Really? Told me about that. That's right.
He's a sweetheart. Because
you guys were gonna, they were gonna make it a movie
years ago,
and then Farley died, so they decided to do it just as a live reading. And it was supposed to be great.
Yeah, the Chicago Comedy Festival. It was. I think it was not going to happen even when Chris was alive.
Oh yeah,
it was. It was pretty far out. I loved it. They should have made it.
Yeah,
you're a Midwest guy. A Midwest guy. Lee's a Midwest guy. How much time did you spend in Chicago?
Oh, I was there for 9 years.
9 years for Second City, right?
Some of my favorite years of my life.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
I love Second City. Wasn't that a good time?
That was a good time. The I.O. was a good time.
Yeah, I love
Chicago.
The I.O.
Chicago is the greatest town in the world.
Yep, yep.
I can't say city because it feels more like a town.
And I always recommend when we talk improv on the show, you got to go to, I agree with you, it is like a town because you don't really, the south side and north side are separated.
Yeah.
And then there's all the areas that are separated.
People doff hats to one another.
Lincoln Park.
Well, plus, I mean, you know, look, New York's the city.
Yeah, right.
So.
Right. I do want to plug, is it, when we always talk about improv, I love plugging Susan Messing at The Annoyance. If you're gonna learn improv, there's no one better to learn
it's
it
terrific,
from.
Yeah.
So,
very passionate
Messing
teacher, yeah.
And the I.O. is terrific as well.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. So you guys took improv?
I was the Second City.
I was I.O.
Now, were you around the Del Close years?
Oh, yeah.
So you got any good Del Close stories?
Or
you tend to get them
or Charna Halpern stories?
Charna, you know, they're both great. They both gave me a great start in comedy or show business.
Yeah.
And my favorite Del story is someone lipped off to him in a class once, or didn't lip off, I forget what it was, and he said something like, why don't you beat it, you turkey? And this is a guy who... 20 years or 25 years earlier than that, had recorded an album, How to Speak Hip. And for him to call someone a turkey is like, well, there's irony right there for you. You turkey.
Did you ever see any of Del's voodoo shit or anything? Or
no, I wasn't, no, I wasn't privy to that. Yeah,
no,
that's
you
all.
Weren't privy to that?
I think that might all be a bit of folklore.
Adam McKay disagrees.
Adam,
McKay saw it, then I believe it.
Adam says he heard it. He heard it.
He heard,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam was not in the room when it happened.
Okay.
He believes it.
He probably spent more time, more personal time with Del and Sharna than I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Adam, of course, he's a Philadelphia guy. You're from Missouri.
Missouri,
right?
Yeah.
Which part of Missouri?
Center. Right dead center.
So not
of the state.
Kansas City, not St. Louis.
My
like,
wife's
boom.
From Kansas City. I'm from north of the Lake of the Ozarks, if that gives you any point of
what
reference.
What did you have to do out there?
My father was a manufacturer of livestock transportation vehicles, racks.
Wow.
Turkey coops, that is. And I worked with him for him since I was 7 years old. So that's what you do.
Football
you work.
Player in high school?
Yeah, I was very slight, though. I was when I started high school, I was 5 foot tall, 99 pounds.
Wow, that was like me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so.
And you grew and I didn't.
Well, but even by the time I was a senior, I was still pretty thin.
Yeah.
You know.
So what did you play?
A tackle. I was slow.
Really?
Very slow.
They had you as a tackle.
Wow.
That thin.
Yeah, what can you do?
Yeah, because you got some speed, I guess.
I started 4 games, I think.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 4 more than a lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially in Missouri.
It's a small town. I mean, but if you go out, you're going to start at some point.
Yeah.
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 So, Missouri, do you ever get to go back there often?
Yeah, we're going to go back. In fact, Sunday, my sister has a place on the Arkansas-Missouri border on Table Rock Lake. So where all of the kids are going back. My mother's still alive, so kind of it's a family reunion.
Great. That's nice.
There's nothing better than home.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it about home that's so different from out here that you love
well,
going
Well, you
back?
Are the same person you grew up as, which is good and bad.
Some people are. Some
right.
people
well, no,
are. You're one of the people that came out here and stayed the same
Well,
person.
You just said something that we don't hear too often on the show, which is, I'm still in good with my family.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
that too.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah, that's true. But
when I tell people, especially like famous like producers and directors, when I tell them I'm going home to visit my family, I seriously, and Lee's been there for this, what's the most common response? Why?
Why? Somebody die?
People you love there, that's why.
Why?
I'm actually going back to Tipton the 8th of August and going to do 2 shows in my old high school, grade school, gymnasium.
Really?
St. Anne's Grade School. Not kidding you. My brother is big in the Chamber of Commerce. And they asked me to do a show
what
there.
What kind of show? Stand-up?
Yeah.
You're going to do stand-up?
Yeah.
We were just talking about this with something Lee and I are putting together. How do you go home to a gymnasium for, like, kids and do David Koechner
I'm not
material?
Doing it for kids.
Oh, you're not.
No, it's a It's a 21 and over show.
So using the gymnasium as like
as
the comedy.
That's the only place they could.
So how do you put together a show at a gymnasium?
I'm just gonna do my regular show.
Okay.
It's the only municipal place where you can gather people for a show in town
with the stage and all the proper room and all that stuff. Yeah.
So have you done a lot of stand up? I didn't really know that.
I just actually started about 3 years ago. Everywhere.
But I've been seeing you at the Improv.
Okay, I'll do some set there as well. Yeah. Some are better, more successful than others. So I started back in like 2008. I started doing it a little bit.
And what made you want to do it?
I've got 5 kids, and things got really tight.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest.
Really?
I mean, jobs I would normally get, stars were taking.
Sure.
I've got one mortgage. They probably have 3. And so it's loosened up again now.
That's good.
A point where, like, well, I've got to do something. I'll tell you, it was the best thing I ever did because it changed a lot of things. You have your own power and your creativity over it. You don't have to listen to anybody else but yourself and then the audience if they laugh or not.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of fun doing it. You get to connect with people. I love doing live shows.
Right.
It's something I continue to do now, even though I don't necessarily have to. I love doing it.
No, I know you just did one last Tuesday at the
Improv or something. Yeah, I did one last night.
Stone and Ari Spear, I think.
He didn't show up, but I did one last night at Best Fish Tacos. I would go out every night if I didn't.
Where's Best Fish Tacos?
In Silver Lake.
And they have shows there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there.
Interesting.
That's all you had to say.
Fish Tacos and comedy?
Yeah, I'm there.
It's a fun night.
But I hear what you're saying.
I'm going to take another bite while you're talking.
Sure, sure. Good. I like this rationing out of the. No matter what I'm doing, I always still want to continue to do stand-up because of the high you get from doing a live show, and you can see the immediate response of it as you're doing it, which is the most rewarding thing. Even when it doesn't go well, it's thrilling.
True. You learn just as much by a bad show as you do a good one.
Absolutely.
Did you and Marlon Wayans, because you just did a film with Marlon, A Haunted House, which I saw and I interviewed Marlon for, and first of all, he's the best guy on the planet.
Sweetheart.
He's the greatest.
Sweetheart.
But he just started doing stand-up probably around the same time you started. Did you guys talk about that at all, or
did you know that? He and his brother go out together,
him and Sean, and he basically said the same thing you said to me. It's something he did kind of out of necessity, and he was training for that Richard Pryor role in that movie that never happened, and now he keeps doing it because he says it's the best thing he ever did.
It feeds you.
Like in Point Break when he can't stop surfing after he kills Patrick Swayze.
Hold
or gets him arrested. It's kind of the same thing. You got to start doing it, and
without
the death. Yeah.
So how many bookings are you doing outside of California?
Right now, not a lot.
Okay.
Just because everything else is heated up.
You got movies going.
Yeah, I'm really busy.
Tell me about this My Asshole Neighbor. That's like one of the ones you got going on.
Yeah, I would start that in September.
Who's in that with you? I remember
Will Sasso.
Will Sasso, who's great. I was going to bring up Will Sasso because your Instagram with Harlan is very similar to Will Sasso's Vine. And if people don't follow Will Sasso on Vine, he's the funniest motherfucker on the planet. You see that lemon one he did where he sticks the lemons in his mouth? And then everyone, I think, by now saw the Arnold Schwarzenegger driving around town one. That's amazing.
He seems to get on a theme and then go with it for a while.
He does. That's exactly right. He'll ride out one joke for like a minute and a half. And it consistently stays funny.
It's funny, yeah.
He finds different ways to tell one joke for a buck and a half. And
now he's on Melissa Joan Hart.
Is that what he is?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So I'm looking forward to that because Will and I, we've met. We've never hung out.
Yeah.
So I can tell he's a fantastic guy. And I hope that he and I will do a bunch of Instagram
videos.
So
you and Harlan and Will do an Instagram of Steady and Shake.
That'd be great.
And then you do a Vine with Will Sasso.
I would love it.
And we'll just get it all going.
Yeah.
Do it in an instant.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'd love that because I got to tell you something. Your YouTube and Will Sasso, that's like 2 minutes of my day that keeps me thoroughly entertained.
Love it. Yeah.
2 minutes, very well entertained.
Right on.
You know what else that David would be great on? He'd be great in acting school with Nick Searcy.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Searcy?
Yeah, Nick's my guy.
I love Nick.
He's a good friend of the show, and a buddy of mine.
We did the comebacks together
years ago.
That's right.
And that's the first time I met him. He was so good.
He's the best.
He was so cool.
He was so good. I'm like, well, here's one of these guys that's an amazing actor that not enough people know about. And now he's on Justified, right?
He lives out by us. And
where do you guys live?
We're in Toluca, but he's in Burbank.
We live 5 minutes away from here.
But Nick does this series on YouTube called Acting School with Nick Searcy. And it's seriously the funniest shit funny you'll ever see.
The one with
him and Stephen.
The
Root.
One with Stephen Root is absolute. Is hysterical.
Oh my god, I can watch that all day. That's what needs to happen. You need to get on it. Yeah,
I would love
you
to.
And Nick need to do an act. I'll arrange it. I'll hit up Nick about it.
The all episode right. could be about you trying to get on it.
Yeah,
it's very meta. You know.
Oh, he Nick Searcy is surprisingly very, very, very funny.
Yeah,
very funny. I think my sister's calling in. What does she want?
Through your laptop?
I think so. Through my laptop.
How can she be calling you through your laptop?
Skype.
Oh, no, no. Maybe she's not calling in. Is she calling in? Is she not calling in? Is what she too good?
What does she want now?
Oh, do you have people do call-ins?
Yeah, we have people that do call-in.
We never
usually.
People call in, but we never
I
take
never
the call.
I never take calls.
It's kind of a running thing on the show. We never have calls.
Let's do, if you get one today, let's
oh,
take it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Did
we are reconnecting
yeah.
you now.
Yeah, I never take calls, ever.
What happened?
I don't know. I just don't take calls. And then they... My sister called in, then she stopped. I'm going to call her. We'll call her.
Yeah.
All right. She loves David.
Where
right.
does she live?
She now lives in Tampa Bay, but she used to be in Chicago with me. But
they were in Downers the Grove. They were not. Not
Downers?
Yeah.
Oh, the,
please try again.
The saddest.
Yeah, it's Downers Grove.
The saddest
Downers?
Name for a place that there ever was.
Yes, it's very
was
sad.
That a person's name? Downers, probably?
I don't know. Downers Grove. Probably was. Yeah, Pierce Downers. Pierce Downer.
I think I did a Christmas Carol in Downers.
Really?
Is there a theater there in
Tivoli
Downers?
Tivoli Theater?
Tivoli.
I think
that's
so.
Right. That's right.
The two celebrities.
And they have the Christmas Carol every year. So
I did it.
Makes,
I did
so,
it
you
years
did
ago.
That.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's crazy.
Downers, the origin place of both Denise Richards and Emo Phillips.
And
really?
Macho yes. Man Randy Savage.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Most
not
importantly,
bad.
Randy Savage.
That's a good group.
So then I call my sister, and does she even answer?
Maybe we're a butt dial.
We're dialing now.
No, she knows. You're like one of her favorites. Ever.
She's one of mine.
Yeah.
How many kids in your family?
I have two sisters, Sarah and Steffi.
Well, who's calling?
He's Sarah. The middle
your
child.
Call has been forwarded but to
and that's the end of that. System.
Well,
yeah, don't.
That
yeah.
was the only effort I'm making.
All right.
I only make
it.
One call.
Was
on
that
this
Sarah
show.
Or Steffi?
Sarah, that's it. That's
okay.
it. She's right. done. She's done.
Are you closer to one or the other?
No, neither.
That's a neutral answer.
He's here. There.
He
there.
Wants the love of both of them.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Right.
Actually, my one sister, my youngest sister, has a son, and I'm closer to him. He's. I never realized how much I like kids until someone else. That you're close to has one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Wait till you have them.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Not in a big hurry.
You have five.
I have five. I love
That's
it.
That's amazing.
We love it.
Yeah. How far apart in age are they? They're not obviously that far.
Charlie's
ages
15.
Ages 2 to 3.
Charlie's 15.
Marg was 11.
11. All right.
The twins, Sergeant and Audrey, are 7.
Woo.
Then Eve is 2.5.
Oh, man. So when was the toughest time? When you had the twins? Because then you had the two boys, they were like, what,
no,
7 and 5?
Charlie and Marg were, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
7 and 5. Probably, because I remember about 2 weeks before the twins were to be born, I remember thinking, oh, my God, it's going to double overnight. No,
right.
it's not, I really thought at that point I could do a third one standing on my head, but twins, it's going to double overnight.
That's so crazy because that's so it's just funny. It's
every
true.
Time you came home from a job, there was another kid running around.
I yep. love how there was a realization that we're going from 2 to 4 literally in the...
3, I thought, easy. Suddenly 4? Wow.
But, I mean, it's great having kids, though,
uh-huh.
right? Yeah. Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah, right. I bet. Right. I bet.
We just went on an 8-day...
David being a good dad.
We just went on an 8-day road trip. And it was awesome. And
yeah.
sometimes, if there's only
Where'd
4...
Where'd you guys travel?
Idaho.
Really?
Road yep. trip to Idaho.
Yep.
Boise?
Army.
I
mm-hmm.
like it.
Yep. Beyond Boise, actually. Stanley.
Wow.
Look. And camped out and RV'd and everything.
That's awesome.
2,100 miles in 8 days. It was fantastic. And just, you know, the campers filled with the kids and the shouts and screams and joys of all of them.
Did they bring their friends with or just
no, no.
kids? Okay. Yeah.
No.
Okay. No. Yeah. David's like, no.
Well, I don't know if
friends.
I would let my
yeah, right.
kid go on an 8-day road trip with another family.
That's true.
As lovely as any other. I don't know. I'd be
a bad Robin Williams.
What does the father do? He's an actor. I see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
I've seen his act. No, thank you.
So you guys go to go outside of Boise. You go to Stanley.
Yep.
So you went camping. You
camping.
Didn't even go, like, hoteling.
We did a little
like
bit.
That.
A little bit of
okay.
both.
Okay.
We camped. RV camped, tent camped, hoteled, all of it.
Oh, that's great.
It
that's
was fantastic.
Like a great. I road trip all the time. That's the only way I really travel. I love
you know,
it.
We did it all the time as a kid,
yeah.
RVs. I'm from a family of 6 kids.
Yeah.
And I have great memories of doing that.
Well, we don't do the RV. I'd love to buy one. I'd love to get an RV.
Yeah, it's a good thing to have.
You rent one.
Yeah.
You rent one.
Oh, you just rent one?
Yeah, yeah.
How expensive is it?
Expensive.
It is expensive. Yeah, expensive.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's all relative,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right, right.
But,
yeah.
I mean, with all the gas and stuff, I mean, every time you fill it up, it's $100.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's half a tank, because I never let it go below half a tank.
No, me either.
Because you don't know where the next gas station is, and you can't be caught.
Man,
sure.
You're exactly right.
You
traveling
are an experienced
cross-country.
RV.
I mean, you've done it. You did it when you moved out.
Well,
here.
No, I lived in an RV that was not connected to anything because I was homeless.
Well, no, I'm talking about you driving cross country.
Oh, yes, yes.
Especially between, like, Nebraska and New Mexico, you cannot let your tank go under half a tank.
Right.
Because you have no idea if there's going to be a gas station within 400 miles.
Now you could if you had. I'm sure there's a Google Finder of next gas station.
But you can't get any signal out there anyways.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But if you were really diligent and mapped it out before and didn't change your route and said, here's exactly where we're going, I know where my gas stations are, blah, blah, blah.
Do you do fishing in Idaho?
We did a tiny little bit. We didn't.
You brought food with them?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Grilled, grilling going.
We're catching all the
food. Not enough. I tell you what, we ate out more than we grilled. We brought all this food, and I'm thinking, why do we bring it? Because unpacking it, like, we still have as much food as we brought. What happened?
Oh,
Daddy just had to buy more takeout on the way.
You guys went to Olive Garden a lot.
Everywhere.
Sarah, where are you? You're like in a bar or something. Why are you always calling from bars, first of all?
No,
second of all, don't you know that sounds bad on the radio? Huh?
No.
Yeah, I'm at kickball today, and
kickball.
I literally brought my phone up to kick with me because I was on hold.
You're 27 years old. You're playing kickball.
Wait, are you playing or your kid's playing?
Sarah, David's talking to you.
Are you playing or your kid's playing?
No, I'm playing.
Oh, awesome. So it's...
Yeah.
She's a 27-year-old kickball
27-year-old. It's just another way to meet boys, right? Are you married?
No, I'm not married.
You're not married. It's a great way to meet boys, right?
Good way to meet the men.
Oh, there's some weird ones here.
Oh.
Wait, then why are you doing it? For the love of kickball? I thought this was like a social thing. Like people do goofy games to be social and go, oh my God, I can't believe we're playing kickball. Ha ha, let's go out. What?
Drinking thing than a
more of a drinking thing. I see. All right.
We're learning a little bit about the Downers Grove kickball scene.
Downers.
No, this is in Tampa.
Oh, they're in Tampa.
Tampa.
I forgot. Excuse me.
Tampa.
So what time is the game soon? Is it imminent?
She was up to bat, I think.
Oh.
When
oh.
she was on
no,
the phone.
No, I was up to kick. And I kicked while running with the phone.
Oh, my God. Couldn't you say up to foot?
Why didn't you just tell everyone, time out, I'm on the phone with David Koechner.
Then they'd all go, who?
A little busy.
You know, the fat guy. Everyone thinks I'm a lot fatter than I am.
You're not fat.
I'm not.
You're not fat at all. Sarah, can I tell you something? David's not fat.
Yeah. And he's a little taller than I expected.
He's not?
That's what I get all the time. You're not. People always go, wow, did you lose weight? I've weighed about the same for at least 15 years.
Yeah, no.
Right around 196.
Fat in Anchorman.
Well, I think a lot of the characters I play are broader.
Yeah.
And so people just tend to think.
Yeah, right.
And if I'm on a good beer jag, my face will be swelled up, and it looks like. And when aren't I? And I worked with a lot of tall people. Will is 6'4", and Dave Allen, who was the other part of the Naked Trucker, is 6'4", so they all think I'm shorter, which is crazy to me. But.
So, Sarah, do you have a question for David, or do you just call to, like, make friends?
No, I just called, actually, to make friends. No, but I was thinking of one in the outfield.
Okay.
Can I say it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, caller. I was going to ask, what was, like, the moment that got you into acting and improv? I'm not into, or I didn't do a lot of research before calling.
The moment that I decided...
Well, was there a thing where you were just, like...
This is my shit, this is what I'm going to do.
What was the moment, David?
What
Thank you, Sarasota,
well,
Florida.
I think watching school plays as a kid, I thought I'd like to do that. I didn't necessarily implicate it in my mind and link it to profession. I just thought, wow, that'd be great to be up on stage to do that. I remember in third grade, there was an incident where we had like 5 minutes before the bell. It was cold out, and Mrs. Powers wasn't going to make us do anything else to the end. And she said, does anyone want to come up and do something? So I got the guy who laughed the loudest in class, Bob Beshin, to come up and sit in front of the class. and then I just pretended that he had my hat. I stuffed my stocking cap in his jacket and then just mimed, basically. Didn't say a word. Mimed looking for my hat. And he was laughing so hard that it made the class laugh. And thank God the bell rang because I didn't have an out to the bit.
Do you do that in stand-up? Do you find the guy that laughs the hardest before you come
no.
up?
No.
No?
No.
I sometimes did that.
Do you?
With stand-up, yeah, I sometimes did.
Well, do you do a lot of crowd work?
Yeah, well, I would know who was laughing the loudest or the hardest, and I would just make sure to give them a lot of eye contact
so
they thought you were really into them,
too. Okay,
and
that's
like,
smart.
Oh.
That's smart.
Yeah, and then get everyone else kind of laughing.
Yeah, it's
true. That's what Lee will be doing at Corky's tonight,
that's
manipulating
right.
the room.
That's right. Good.
Where's
good
Corky's?
Time.
Sherman Oaks,
and it's a diner with a bar in the back. I'm headlining there.
I think I know that. Yeah,
right
yeah.
from here, yeah.
I love that there's so many. Sarah, was there anything else? Did I answer your question?
No. That's it. Thank you for letting me call in and ask.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good
Thank
luck
you,
with
Sarah.
Your kickball. I'm sure it's important.
How nice.
All right, I will. I'm going to go out to the field now.
All right, see you when I see you. Love you, bye.
You know what I love about L.A. right now is there are so many places to get up.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get up literally 5 or 6 times a night, 7 days a week, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know,
Lee wouldn't know
there's always... That's funny. That's, there's always been, you know, these official clubs and places on Sunset and all that stuff. But now, and it took me a while, any big city you go to, there's always an alternative comedy scene.
Alt, folks. We're talking alt.
There's
alt
always a network of places, of rooms that spring up just in bars or rock clubs, and they're more egalitarian, and you're going to see more performers there who are maybe a little more challenging or experimental.
Yeah.
And that's always really great. You see people who are doing interesting things. It doesn't always work.
Well, I would say even then I think people should come more prepared because a lot of times it's pretty lazy, and I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of just lazy. If you're an accomplished performer, and very few can really do it, if you're an accomplished performer who can just do things off the top of your head and really make it work, I applaud you. You're rare, you're special, you're unique. But everyone else thinking they can get up there and go, what else? What else?
Is going on in the news
today? I don't like that. I think if you don't have the respect for the audience to prepare something,
Absolutely.
And if you're the only person, improv's different.
Yeah, right.
That's supposed to be spontaneous. Let's see how much we can make out of it. Can we develop a relationship right now? But if you can't develop that relationship in your the mind's eye of the audience with you, the performer, then come on, man.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of people just doing. Yeah, I'm gonna go do an open mic. Well, try fucking harder.
Yeah.
Or
write
harder.
Yeah. Write something.
Memorize.
And a lot of guys really, it's just kind of their entry point into, you know, other things. So they go up there, and those are the people who are glancing at their notes and, or God forbid, their phones where they have their list written out.
Oh, I love that.
I know. I've
I
seen so much of that in L.A.
Phone.
I know.
Yeah.
I'd like to know who the first guy in the alt scene back in the early 90s, I think that's when it started. When I came to town in 96, there was a pretty healthy alternative scene.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it was already starting back then. Wait. When I saw some in New York in 95, there was some alt rooms and people were going up there with stuff and reading off a pad.
Yeah.
I'd like to know who
Janine Garofalo was big on that.
But who was before that? Who opened the door?
Who opened the notepad door?
Said it's okay to go.
What
else?
It literally had to be someone so good that people didn't give a shit and actually started doing it as well.
You know, and it's I guess in those experimental rooms, it's okay. And again, if you're accomplished and you do it, like I get it. What else did I want to talk about? Oh yes, here's another thing.
Yeah.
That happens quite often. But if you got nothing,
The alt rooms are also big though. And here's another thing. It's all about
I know what I wanted to talk about.
Right.
Hey, you know what? Everyone has a set list.
Yeah.
Put it on the floor.
I'll give you a great example. Someone you've worked with who is a master at stand-up and sometimes does stuff on the spot, but it sounds pre-prepared and amazing is Norm MacDonald.
I love Norm.
Yeah.
Norm is someone who you know is making something up in that moment sometimes, but he's never like, oh, and another thing I was thinking about, or, oh, I wanted to say, and, oh, here's what's going on.
Well, the difference is Norm is truly funny.
Yeah,
he's truly hysterically funny. A lot of people aren't. But, you know, the other thing is, where else are they going to get a chance? So I guess I'll back off on my insistence that you have an act.
It is annoying when people come up and they don't have an act.
But you've got to have something, right?
Yeah. Well, I figure if I go up and I can't remember my jokes or I can't remember the order they come in, then it's better for me to try and fumble and remember and deal with it than go to my notes.
Well, I would also argue that if you're if you can just be honest,
yeah,
then you're, and you're actually funny, it'll all be okay.
Yeah.
If you're all, if you're up there and go, folks, I got to tell you something. I got to be honest with you. I had a lot of stuff prepared tonight, and trust me, I'm not going to waste your time. It's gone. It's out of my head. No, and then you follow that line of thinking. Now you've got a theme, and you, you know you should be able to at least elocute about that in
absolutely.
Some way.
Absolutely.
Right? And find some common ground with the people. If nothing else, entertain. It doesn't have to, you know, everyone has a different style. Some people will do a joke a second. Some people tell a long story with a great punch at the very end. You'd like a little bit of both. But, you know, if I truly believe you're just honest, something's going
to
come up.
Well, I always say when I go up there, I'm going to try to have fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing. And then my energy hopefully will be infectious.
Right.
I'm not thinking about them so much. Just as if I screw up, it's my own fault, too.
How did you get hooked up with Mike Judge? He's the best.
He's amazing.
Amazing, right?
Let's see. I had auditioned for Mike Judge for Idiocracy.
Okay.
And that's the first time I actually met him. I had done an episode of
King of the Hill.
Uh-huh. K-O-T-H.
Yep, K-O-T-H,
but
right.
Mike wasn't necessarily running it day-to-day then.
So,
it was Greg Daniels? Or
It was Al Schulter and Krinsky, I think,
okay,
were running it at the time.
Okay.
But that's, you know, I think I was on his radar, and then I auditioned for Extract and had a great audition, and then I got the job.
What an underrated film.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Your character in Extract, we all know
amazing.
We all know that guy.
It's
and
amazing.
When he gets told off is really satisfying and still kind of sad.
Yeah, right.
It's one of my favorite things I've ever done.
Yeah.
It was, you know, he writes so well. He writes character. They're so specific and detailed.
I just will not take a hint.
Oh, my gosh.
And it, that was a way different character for you, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually you can there's a lot of roles where you're playing the jerk off or like
right.
or
the brow the
loud
bore
guy.
Yeah.
But in this in Extract it was a little bit sad because there was some sympathy to your character because it's David Koechner playing this guy who just wants a friend really.
Yeah. They told me in screenings that people would applaud when my guy was dead. Which is great. That's fantastic.
That's the Judge
it means
project.
I did my job.
Yeah. Yes, you did. So then you ended up doing some Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Now, that was with Mike, too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how excited were you to do Beavis and Butthead? Because the new episodes were really great, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to work with him again.
Yeah.
And John Altshuler were great, too. So that just
Mike Judge has a event in Hollywood in a few weeks. I think I'm going to go see it. He's playing his found footage tape. He made a found footage tape, I guess, before he did even, like, Office Space or anything, before Beavis and Butthead, and he passed it around to his friends. It's just crap that he found on TV and edited together, and he's going to be playing it.
Where?
I believe at the Silent, right?
Yeah. It's like Mike Judge's Everything is Terrible.
August 16th, I believe.
Oh, my God.
It's the Everything is Terrible Festival.
I want you to not tell people because I want to make sure I get a ticket.
Yeah, you should go.
Yeah, it's
you
a little.
Go. It's
a
gonna
little,
be great.
Fills
are
up quick
there pre-sales or no?
Yeah, there's pre-sales.
Okay.
It's like $15, but I'm going.
Yeah.
I got to go. And Mike's going to be there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And, you know, Mike doesn't do a lot of public stuff.
Right.
No.
So it's great. I don't know. I've been looking forward to this for, like, my whole life. I'm the biggest King of the Hill fan.
Oh, yeah?
Great.
You could hear it probably from my bedroom.
But
all
I love
the time.
King of the best show.
I'm always rocking King of the Hill in my room.
I've had some. My friend Norm Hiscock wrote on the show for years, and Jerry Collins wrote on the show for years.
It's the best show.
It's great.
It's the best show. I love it. It's up there with Cheers for me. It's like
the best
sitcom.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. I consider it a sitcom because it's that good. It's that good. You've worked, and then Greg Daniels again on The Office.
Sure.
Now, did Greg know you from, how did you get involved with The Office then, Todd Packer, which, by the way, is a great character on The Office because he's so different than everyone else on the show. And you're actually the one guy people, like, root against compared to Steve Carell.
Yes.
And then you did a scene with Will Ferrell, I remember, in the season where Steve was leaving.
But I didn't do a scene with Will.
Oh, it was with Steve. It was in the episode.
Yes,
same episode.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that whole storyline was really good. Then the show just kind of, I don't know. What do you think the show was just as good winding down?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. I saw James Spader said in the news, James Spader said he didn't watch it. They asked James, they go, what did you think of the finale, James? He goes, I didn't see it.
I didn't either. But that's, you know, I've got an excuse. I have 5 kids.
There you go.
I love excuses.
So how'd you get involved with that, though?
I had auditioned for Michael Scott.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people had. And, you know, it went the right way. They got the right guy.
Yeah,
they got Steve.
Yeah,
and
right.
So it was in the first season. I don't know which episode it was. 3, maybe. I was up in Canada shooting Snakes on a Plane, and they were having trouble casting the role of Todd Packer.
Yeah.
And Steve, I guess, said to those guys, well, what about Koechner? And so they had that episode finished, and then the next week I was available, so we came in and shot the Packer scenes after they had already finished that episode. So that's how that happened.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So Steve got you the gig, pretty much.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
The best.
Yeah.
The best.
How much now you get to work with all your friends again, Anchorman 2. I noticed with Anchorman and Anchorman 2, it's like, especially when Adam was on, he told me, he basically said, I love Adam, and he's always been a supporter of this show and of me, and I'm internally grateful to Adam, eternally. But what he said was it was basically be a who's who of comedy, movies, TV in Anchorman 2. Basically,
mm-hmm.
if he could get the people, they were going to be in it.
Yes.
So you get to act with all your friends in this movie. How's that for you?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
We're done, you know.
Yeah, you're done, right. You shot in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show,
damn
thing. We're reconnecting you now.
Oh. Bad internet connection. Continue. We're good.
Here's the thing. We had to shoot in Atlanta, so a lot of the other people that probably would have just shown up for two lines couldn't quite do that, like all my other Chicago buddies that would have just been in every little turn, right?
Sure, right.
That would have been truly amazing. But Georgia has a 30% give back.
Yeah,
so
right.
For every $10 million they spend.
It was hard to make this movie anyways. They've been trying for years to get the budget for this thing, and
crazy.
Paramount wouldn't give it to them, which
right.
is nuts.
I know. But anyway, we got it done, so we're all happy. But it was really incredible. Every week someone amazing would show up.
So we can expect some surprises in this movie that haven't been announced and stuff.
I hope so. There's plenty of, you know, photo coverage of everybody that was in there. But, yeah, it is pretty incredible. Plus, the other thing is they don't know, even if it gooses it, because, you know, they're going to start laying this thing out, I think, as it gets closer. They're going to start saying who was in it and all that stuff. But, yeah.
What's your arc in this film? Do you have a story arc for your character?
Yeah, but here's the thing. We shot so much that none of us know what the film's going to be yet.
That's good.
And I'm not kidding.
But
there
that's
is,
kind of interesting.
There's so much footage. We were all just shrugging our shoulders.
So
I don't know. Does that make
like
it?
That?
Is that in?
Is it from a lot of improv
yeah.
that you shot a lot of
yeah.
footage? Okay.
There'd be a three-line scene that went into a five-minute scene.
Yeah.
Turned into a five-minute scene. Of course, Adam is probably the smartest guy I know.
He's amazing.
And that's not being hyperbolic. That's just he's that bright. About anything, not only just comedy, but any subject I think the guy could dissertate on for a half an hour. And you go, yep, he's convinced me. If he told me I could probably fly out of a building, I'd go like, wow, it sounds crazy, but you know what? McCabe convinced me, here I go.
Yeah, he's good.
And so what Adam does now in this one, we call it the voice of God, or they call it the voice of God. He'd have speakers and he'd have a microphone behind the monitors. That way you don't have to get up every time and go talk and discuss. During the takes, he would just throw out alts to every character in the movie while it was going on. Really amazing.
So you have no idea how this is going to go.
That is correct.
That's
I mean,
crazy.
I have an idea, but
I
will know what the scenes were when I see them, but I don't know which scenes are going in or out
we
of the picture.
We know the big storylines, but the smaller stuff, it depends on what Adam decides he wants to do with the alts.
Or whatever works.
If he uses alts, then
the movie tells you what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get in that editing room and go, we need something else. What else do we have? Yeah. Oh, my God, this works perfectly.
That's great.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it. When does that come out, October?
December 20th.
December 20th.
Oh, ways away.
For the Oscars.
Right.
That's right, baby.
That's right.
Going for that Oscar. Champ kind. All right. So it's you, Steve. It's Will. It's Paul Rudd again that we know of.
Christine Applegate.
What about those guys from the film,
Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller's in them, and Tim Robbins.
Wes,
are they coming
Wes Vantooth?
I saw Vince.
You saw Vince?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's the best. All right, that's good. Do you like working with Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a lot of fun.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be in one of his movies.
There you go.
Tell him.
That's
hey, Vince.
That's
hey,
how
Vince.
It's done.
Get on it, Vaughn.
Yeah, he's not the kind of guy you tell things to.
Oh, okay.
You don't go, hey, you.
He tells you.
He's a very strong personality,
I've
well earned.
I've seen him. I've seen him direct Ron Howard in The Dilemma. And I mean that.
were you working on the picture?
No, I was there. I was hanging out and
just filming in the
hood. I saw him directing Ron Howard and Kevin James, and it was fascinating. But I'll put it to you this way, though.
That's a dilemma.
In Vince's defense, when Vince hits it, though, he hits it. I mean, when it's a home run, it's a home run.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a home run hitter. Those are the risks you take. You know, you roll the dice.
That's true.
Stuff like that. But I think on a movie with Adam McKay, I think Vince probably lets Adam drive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's one guy in charge. There's no question. He's the brightest guy on the set. No question.
The Adam McKay movies that you're not in,
yeah.
Which one did you... You've obviously seen them all, probably. Step Brothers,
yeah.
All that. You love Step Brothers?
Oh, it's very funny.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be a sequel to that?
I think they were kind of mulling that over and then gave this one another whack.
I think they were headed that way,
and then they said, let's try Anchor One Man one more time with the studio and see if they want to do it, and I think that's what happened.
What do you think's your most underrated film that you've done that people don't talk about?
I guess Extract.
Extract's up there, yeah.
I guess.
Waiting seems to get a lot of play.
Well, Waiting, yeah, people, it's a cult film.
Yeah,
anyone who ever worked in restaurant.
Yeah, right.
Business, the restaurant business, has watched that film. So,
are you happy that you get involved in a lot of cult projects? I mean, they're not cult projects at
you
the
don't
time.
Know.
You don't know.
You
about,
don't know.
Dirty Work, Snakes on a Plane, Waiting, Extract.
Out Cold.
Yeah, Out Cold.
Yeah.
You seem to get involved in films that have very big niche audiences.
Yeah,
like
I tell you,
audience.
I don't know what happened. I'm fortunate.
Yeah.
It happens.
And that's why people love you, though, because they remember you from
that,
and then they're like
Anchorman,
and then The Office. And
well, you know what happened? Yeah. It just so happened that most of the projects that I got to be in went to the screen.
Yeah.
Rather than just to the, you know, the video bin.
Right, right.
People actually saw them. They all had a theatrical run.
Yeah,
and
all your movies tend to get theatrical runs.
Yeah.
And then when you do TV, you only do pretty good TV shows or TV shows that are pretty well rated.
I've been lucky.
I remember you were on Monk
twice,
I believe.
Yeah.
He loves Monk.
One of my favorite shows ever.
Good show.
Yeah. Well, I bring this question, not even a question, more of a comment up, because it just so happens Koechner's in everything I love.
That's
like
nice.
Every single thing, I'm like, oh, I love Waiting. Oh, I love Out Cold.
You know,
and Out Cold's underrated.
I think what happened for years, I did this show in town called The Naked Trucker and T-Bone Show with Dave Gruber Allen, and literally it was a favorite of all the writers in town. Every big writer and showrunner in town had come to see our show at some point.
How'd you get that to happen?
No, they just word of mouth.
Just happened.
Yeah,
of mouth.
It was a great show.
It's great.
It didn't translate to Comedy Central the way we wanted it to. My wife says, you know, you're the executive producer, don't complain. But I should have been more insistent on the direction of the show.
How'd you put that show together?
Well, they finally came around, saw the show, and
the original show, though. How'd you put
the
original
show? Oh, it was Dave Allen's
show.
It was Dave Allen's show. He asked me to be a guest.
And that's it.
And that was it. And then the next time he did the show, he asked me to be a guest. I'd do 5 minutes of a 20-minute show. It was a late-night show. It was like there'd be the regular show, and then there would be 20 minutes of The Naked Trucker.
Oh, okay.
And so it was whoever...
Yeah, I wasn't in town when this
Yeah,
was
whoever was left over. This is the old Largo, too, on Fairfax.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So then the show just slowly expanded. It became a headlining show.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we literally had... I mean, any top comic working today probably was an opener for The Naked Trucker and T-Bones.
Like Wayne Fetterman.
Sure.
Wayne Fetterman was... He was an opener.
Our buddy.
I love Wayne.
Everybody. Galifianakis, Tompkins, Oswald.
Galifianakis did a show last night at the Westwood Brew Pub.
Where's that?
Brew Company in Westwood. I don't go.
Okay.
It's a little too college.
So was it just a
I think it was
pop-up
a
show?
I think it was a little pop-up, uh-huh. Yeah, but he's doing pop-ups right now.
Sure,
so
why not?
He does lots of those. I got to give him credit.
There's a lot of places in town. What do you mean? What do you mean? You got to give him credit.
Was
it reluctant?
Well, no. I mean, you know, it's you know, when you do movies and then continuing to do live shows. I mean,
it's like you just had said earlier. It's
it's the
greatest charge.
Man,
yeah,
he loves it.
You love it.
He loves it. Tell me about Hank, because Kelsey Grammer is a great actor,
uh-huh.
And he was great on Cheers. Is he as good of a person to work with as an actor?
Well, he was. Yeah, he was always gracious.
But he hated the show, didn't he, Hank?
I
remember reading he was talking about recently where he didn't like Hank.
It didn't work out.
Yeah.
I think
he asked for it to be canceled.
Oh.
He wanted them to cancel it. Now,
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Because
who wants no money? I don't want to make a check.
And look, no, I don't care what your nut is. You always got to take care of your nut.
Yeah,
and
right.
So you're always bleeding money.
Yeah.
So if I've got one house, he might have four. I don't know.
But he's still
got
to pay
so
for
you still
four.
So you still got all that.
Yeah.
And I think everyone was surprised that show got made. I think even the showrunner was surprised. I know that he was already staffed on a different show, and he had just written a spec script, and lo and behold, hey, this is going. He's like, what? And so you've got to assemble a staff. I don't know if that was his first choice, like, oh, this is the show I'm passionate about. I don't know. I can't speak for him. All great people who worked on the show, but it was just a failed enterprise. It didn't find its legs or its voice. It was supposed to be fish out of water, kind of like Green Acres, but it was a miss. And I don't know, like, you've got a lot of, you know, fingers in the stew there. You've got not only your own writing staff and head writer, then you've got a star, then you've got the studio, and then the network. So you're really, it's by committee. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. So are you willing to ever go back to TV?
Oh, like I just shot a pilot. A pilot for the History Channel, of all places. I swear to God, it's a four-camera sitcom for the History Channel. I'm not yanking your chain. It's called Whitey. It's basically All in the Family. It's an updated Carol O'Connor type, Archie Bunker type show.
This is fantastic.
Where, yeah, it's a guy in the Midwest who's my age, and he is unemployed for 7 months, and there's a lot of new ethnics in his neighborhood, and he doesn't get it.
Doesn't get it. That sounds great.
It's on the History Channel.
We hope so. We shot the pilot back in June. They're still waiting to say yes or no to the series. If it did go to series, I think I'm told that it would be January or February.
Wow.
But and those are limited runs on cable, you know, so you'll get maybe 12. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's exciting, though. 13
brother,
episodes on the History Channel.
It was so much fun, too, and I think the show turned out great.
Who else is in the cast? Who's involved with this project? I didn't know about that.
I think Paige Davis might be the only name you know.
Okay.
And she was on Trading Spaces.
Yeah.
But the rest of the cast is dynamite. So I hope we get a chance.
That's great.
It was a lot of fun to do, a lot of talented people involved.
What's the production company
History Channel.
It? Do you remember?
Leslie Greif was the
speaking of Justified.
No,
he did the
Hatfields
and
McCoys.
The Kevin and Costner.
Hatfields and McCoys.
Hatfields and McCoys. So, they're doing everything for the History Channel now.
He's done several projects. He's a busy guy. He's got a lot of stuff up and coming. But anyway, this is a project he had forever, and when we did a rewrite on it, and I thought it turned out great. Really, really, really good. So I hope it gets a chance.
And you did another underrated film last year that I really liked, was Hit and Run with Dax.
Love Dax Shepard. Have you ever,
Mike Binder, who's a good friend of mine, is good friends with Dax Shepard. I've met Dax. He's a really, really nice guy.
Love him.
And that was a lot of good people in that movie. But I got to tell you, once again, Tom Arnold.
Love him.
Such an underrated comedian.
I love Tom Arnold. He makes me laugh hard.
Really
and there's nothing
hard.
Better for
really
me
hard.
Than Dax and Tom together. It's real.
It's great.
It's really this.
It's a shame Coney is done because I cannot see Dax and Tom eating hot dogs anymore on Sunset Boulevard. We used to do our show from Coney Dog on Sunset, which Mike Binder owned with Adam Sandler and Tim Allen and Sam Raimi. And we would do the show from there.
What happened? The place closed?
Mike just got really busy doing films again and stuff,
right.
And he just didn't have the time for it, so he sold it. He sold it, and they still sell Coney dogs, but he sold it to these Greek guys, so now it's shawarma. Shawarma and Coney dogs.
Detroit-style shawarma.
Yeah, it's very Detroit-y, I guess.
Yeah, that's...
But Dax and Tom used to always come by, and Dax, you know, has all the cars.
Yeah.
So Dax would come by in his, like, tricked-out Lincoln or whatever, and Tom would come by in his Acura or whatever. And then they'd sit and eat, and you could just see the two of them, like, kvetching and, like, you know, bitching at each other.
I love that those two are friends.
Like, real brothers, though, too.
It is great that they're friends. Yeah. And Tom is really good in Hit and Run. If there's a reason to see Hit and Run, it's Tom Arnold.
I agree with you.
He's
fantastic.
I mean, he made True Lies as good as it was.
I agree.
Yeah, True Lies is way better because of Tom Arnold.
Yep.
And so that's great. And then we talked a little bit about how you were involved in a haunted house. Are you going to be doing the second one?
Don't know. I haven't heard from those guys. Aren't they doing it now?
I don't think they're filming it now, but they are writing it now.
Okay. Yeah, they haven't contacted me.
I think they're putting it together now.
I would think that if I was, I'm sure they're going to go in a different direction.
Well, yeah, that's true. But you were pretty great in the first one.
Well, thank you. I don't know what the next one's about. Is it the same type of thing, like a spoof parallel?
I'm sure it's a spoof.
Yeah, I don't know.
But David in A Haunted House, I don't believe you saw it. David plays a
a racist.
Subtly racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Security man.
And
subtly.
When I met with those guys, we're going over, they're going, no, go harder. Go more. I'm just like, oh, really?
I know, because isn't it weird when you're working with other ethnicities?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just going to say it as white as I can.
Sure.
If you're working with other ethnicities and they're telling you to be as racist as
right.
you possibly can.
Something's going on.
Like when Marlon Wayans, who, by the way, not only is a good-looking guy and a funny guy, but he's in good shape.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to fuck with Marlon.
No.
When Marlon Wayans is telling you to throw out the N-word.
Well, that never... That never happened.
That didn't happen?
I think everybody
did
would...
just do that?
No, I never said
no,
it.
No, you never did it?
No.
Oh, I don't remember.
I think there's a scene...
There is in there, though.
There's a scene where I... But I don't say it.
Oh, okay.
There's a scene where I ask him, can I say it?
Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was. Right.
Can
that's
I say
funny,
it?
Though.
And had he said yes...
Well, yeah,
I would have dropped it. But
Kechner played it real funny too, because when he was asking him, "Can I say it?" he sounded like really sexual when saying it.
It's a sexy word.
It was so weird. It was really funny. It was really funny. I hope Marlon and you keep working together because that's a good team.
I think about that too. I would love to do something
really
with him.
I'm sure we will.
I'm sure we will. It tends to happen when you work with someone. If there's another little thing you can do on their project,
he's another underrated guy.
Yeah.
He should be a leading man. He should. I've been arguing this for a long time.
Yeah.
All his movies make money.
Yep.
All of them.
Yep, you're right.
And
that thing cost
$2 million
yeah, to make, maybe less.
That man.
And it made $49 million total.
Jeez.
Not too bad.
No wonder Tommy Ortenberg loves him right now.
Yeah.
See Tommy Ortenberg? There you go. I love Ortenberg and Open Road. They work with everybody we love.
They do,
Frank Grillo, Marlon Wayans. They're working with all the people that I think are incredibly underrated that can really deliver in there. They're doing that. Another person you've worked with and that you continue to work with, Seth MacFarlane, American Dad.
Well, I don't get to work with Seth.
Yeah,
but
is Seth ever around for American Dad?
No.
No, he's never there.
No.
Does he pop in from time to time?
No.
Does he literally phone in his role? Because I know Mike Judge literally phoned in for King of the Hill.
Oh, is that right?
I forget who was on our show that was on King of the Hill, but they told me that Mike Judge literally phoned in.
Well, you're on a microphone still. You have to have that quality. So he's probably had a studio in his house.
Right, like a special studio.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but look, man, if you
Texas.
Created more than one successful franchise.
No, I love it.
You want to live near your family in Austin, Texas. I think you've earned that right.
Yeah,
I love it. Right. But did you, so Seth also probably phones in.
I've no idea.
You have no idea.
I've met Seth once. That was a lobby of a hotel in Vancouver.
But he didn't even hire you then. So it wasn't Seth that hired you for American Dad.
That is correct.
Wow.
He's the creators of American Dad.
He is like a franchise now.
Oh,
then.
My God. I can't imagine how much money
that
guy's
there are other people here. Running that guy's business.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the way it always was. That was by design. I don't think
they probably call him up and go, hey, we want to hire Kechner. Yeah, sure.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Why would they bother him with that?
Yeah, right.
That's great. Well, I mean... once again, your YouTube page, youtube.com/David Kechner. You can just go to davidkechner.com, and you get all the links there.
Yeah, you'll get everything there.
You get all the links there. Please check out his Instagram, too. What's your Instagram handle?
I think it's just David Kechner.
It's just David Kechner, right?
K-O-E-C-H-N-E-R, folks.
Right. And you and Harlan Williams, you got to see Steady and Shady.
Yeah, that shit is good.
I would love to see more of you and Harlan.
Oh, well, I
got to see that.
I'm going away to do a bunch of stuff. I'm going to be back in town mid-August, and then I think Harlan went out. He was going to do the Montreal Comedy Festival, and I said this earlier, then he was going to go fishing for a couple of weeks in Canada, so it was just like, how do we get back together? So I think at the end of August, we're going to complete our little movie.
I think that makes sense, because we tried to get Harlan on the show, and Harlan was unavailable, and I'm like, oh, he's probably in Montreal doing stand-up.
He's doing
stand-up, and he's big on fishing.
Then he's
going to
go fish. Hey, guy,
I might
catch fish, but I'll stir-fry electronics, huh?
Why don't you you and Harlan, see, I'm just going to be
your
agent.
Why don't these fish just get in the boat?
You and Harlan do a show at Flappers. He's always at Flappers.
Yeah.
Get you
I would love to.
Do a duet up there.
Well, we're doing that thing, and we're writing a film together as well.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Harlan's idea that it kills me. I'm not going to tell you anything about it.
Okay, fine.
I was one of the few people, not to insult Harlan, who I love, but I was one of the few people that saw and loved Rocket Man.
Okay.
I went, I saw, and I loved it. I got high. But, I mean, I mean, I was 14.
Sure.
But, I mean, Harlan, for me, was a guy, he started making it when I was, 14, 15 years old. And I was just really into him. I've always been into him. I think that guy deserves a TV show or something.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Norm, too.
Yeah.
Norm's another guy that just keeps getting fucked over with clunkers. And Norm MacDonald's maybe the most talented guy not working.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did his. He was doing his podcast for a while, and
yeah,
then I guess he's taking a break.
He does the video podcast.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, 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 which is great.
Yeah.
He did one with Dave Osborne that I recommend checking out.
Oh, my God, I saw that one.
Isn't he great?
Yeah.
Oh, but I don't. I think that was real.
Yeah, where it was Dave was busted.
Dave
on
was
Norm.
Like, what are you hey, what are you doing?
I know.
What is this?
Oh,
Norm.
Bob Einstein.
Norm, do you not want a career?
I love Bob.
What, are you trying to end it? Are you serious? Are you being serious right now?
I think it was
oh my,
absolutely
you?
100%
what,
real.
What, he was,
yeah, he
well,
was
how do I get out of here? I wouldn't look. Look, I would not have come down here for this. Norm. Oh, my God.
I love Bob.
You know, speaking of Jeff Garland, we have our interview with Jeff Garland next. You did a curb.
Yes.
You did a curb. Do you think you'd do another curb? Or do you think
is it still,
you talk to
it's over.
At all? They're coming back.
Are they?
Garland told me that with the Goldberg schedule that he has, because he's doing the Goldbergs on ABC, which is a new sitcom, he said he left in the contract with ABC, if Curb comes back, I can go do Curb,
that's
too.
Great. So. Larry did a night of rewrites for Whitey with us. There,
really?
Alan Zweibel was the head writer.
Oh.
And Alan Zweibel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
who
Dana,
did North, I believe.
Right.
Is that right? They
I don't
did
know.
The movie North with Elijah Wood?
Maybe.
I want to check on that.
Go I ahead, think keep, he might have. He's got a play
he,
coming out.
He is, yes,
yeah.
is his Bunny
Bunny.
Bunny
Bunny Bunny,
yeah, yeah.
But Gilda Radner, yeah.
I auditioned for that.
Really?
20 years ago in New York. I was terrible and ill-suited for the role. But
I don't know if you could play Gilda Radner, maybe.
No, I thought I could.
Yeah, Alan Zweibel did do the story of us at North.
Alan's,
but he's a great writer.
He
he's
is
a great
amazing.
Writer, yeah.
He's an amazing guy. He's got an amazing mind.
So he's tight with Larry.
Yes, they're best friends.
Okay.
And so he was able to bring in. They're about. Well, he said it the night that they came by, and they couldn't stay too long for various reasons that I'm not going to get into right now. They were willing to. There's a drama. There's a cliffhanger for you.
Oh, okay.
But Alan had assembled, as he said, there were 44 Emmys in the room. For writing, this rewrite table, they got interrupted by an incident, but and Larry was among them.
Wow!
So it was a beautiful night.
So there was more than Larry and Alan.
Oh
there.
Yeah!
So who else was there?
God, I don't even want to start down the list because I'll forget somebody. It was an amazing night.
It was that great of a room.
Yes.
So there is without a doubt, if Whitey gets shoved aside by the History Channel, they fucked up. We could say 44 Emmys in a room. They probably.
I wouldn't blame the History Channel.
No?
No.
Okay, we'll blame someone else.
Okay. Well, no blame. There's just things that happen. There could be stories later, but not now.
Okay.
Sure, sure.
So, but
now, is the Whitey rewrite that everyone did the script that you guys shot on?
Partially.
Partially. Gotcha. All right, well, that's all
right.
I need on
that's
that.
That's all we can get.
There you go.
That'll do.
Let's see if we have any more questions from people on Facebook, Twitter. No, we're good.
We're good.
So, David, I do want to thank you for coming by.
Yeah.
Finally. Let's do it again in another 2 years.
I'd love to have you by again before Anchorman comes out in December, and we'll plug it more. We can talk about more then.
We can try. I can't guarantee it. You can probably understand I get asked to do something every week.
Yeah.
How long did it? Literally, and we tried. I tried.
Yeah,
to
like
do
two,
this show.
It
took a long time.
Yeah.
And that wasn't being capricious or anything.
No.
Well,
no,
he's got
no,
like
no.
nine projects
it's
in the
really,
works.
Yeah, I've got more.
Oh, that's good.
And
no.
five kids, so I've
and
got
I'm
more.
Glad you're busy, though.
Yeah.
Yes, me too.
But I hope I see you at the Mike Judge thing in a couple weeks.
Thank
that'd
you for
great.
Reminding me. The 16th, I'm going to go home and get my tickets.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I'm going to hit up Nick Searcy because you need to do an acting
show. I will definitely do that. Please. Let me see if I've got Nick. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'll
telling you to hold on. It's your show. Hold on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Give me
right.
some dead air. Guys, give me some real dead air.
So we're going to come back with the Jeff Garland interview, and then you want to play a song to fade out?
Yeah,
here?
What are we going
to
play? You're the guy that knows these things.
Yeah right. I'm
play Little Earthquakes by Tori Amos, the entire album.
I've got four Nicks in my phone, and none of them are seriously.
Oh, see, now.
That is a shame.
Get on it.
We need to make that happen.
Yeah. Oh, you've got my email.
Yeah,
so
I got
send
your
it.
Email.
Send it to Nick, and I would love to do a show.
Actual networking people.
There you go.
Nick,
that's how it's done.
Yeah.
Nick would absolutely. I think he'd be all for it because
I'd be thrilled.
Yeah. And, it's a
and guess what?
Great series.
I'd learn something.
You probably would.
Yeah.
It's acting school with Nick Searcy. You will learn something.
I love it.
He will teach you. He will teach you.
I'm gonna go look it up.
Even better than you already do.
Thank you.
Oh, you gotta look it up because the episodes he did with like Stephen Root and even the stuff that has like no cameos in and stuff's great.
Yeah.
He obviously writes them himself and. Nick's a really funny guy.
Fantastic.
Very funny.
All
so
right.
Thank you, David.
Right. Thank you very
hey,
much.
Thank
much.
You.
Best of luck in the future, and we'll have you on in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right, bye.
Bye.
I've changed my name, but no one
Are we on? Oh, yeah, we're on. Okay. Hey. Sorry, we're just wrapping up with David Koechner, who was fantastic.
Great interview.
Fantastic. We'll have him on again in 2.5 years. See, when you work hard enough to get somebody on, though, finally, dreams do come true.
They do come true in Hollywood sometimes.
Holy shit, was that? That was some work. We were working a long time to get him on the show.
Yeah?
Oh, from like day one.
Really?
Yeah, he's a busy man, David Koechner. He's busy. Jeff Garlin. The film is Dealing with Idiots.
Uh-huh.
It's on demand. It's on the iTunes. It's on the Amazon. We interviewed him on Friday over at ID. And this is the interview coming up here.
And he's got the Goldbergs coming out.
Goldbergs on ABC, but we hope to have Jeff on before then.
Sounds like we're going
to. Yeah, you need to give Pat his email because I lost it.
I've got it.
Yeah, you need to give it to Pat. I lost it.
Okay. He didn't get he gave it to me, Matt.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because I'm the one with
the
notebook.
Phone.
Yeah.
No. Oh yeah, the notebook. You fag. So anyway,
it's right in between like two really hacky jokes that I was writing out too, and like.
Well, then it should fit in real well.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I love Jeff.
Like
all right, here's Jeff Garlin from Friday. It's Dealing with Idiots. You can catch it on demand as of now and in some select theaters.
It's playing at the Sundance if you're in L.A.
There you go. And I also want to thank David Koechner once again, Anchorman 2 in theaters December 20th. When we come back, Lee will plug Corky's one more time and we'll sign off for the week. But we'll be back after this. Here's
we'll be
Jeff
back
Garlin.
In For Your Eyes Only.
Here's Jeff Garlin.
Tell me when we're rolling.
All right.
We won't change my demeanor. But
don't change your demeanor.
Yeah.
We're sitting down with Jeff Garlin here on the Matthew Aaron Show. Dealing with Idiots is the film.
Where was the last
film?
Time we were together at that bed thing for the fireman?
The fireman thing and then the L.A. Italia. That's what it was, the Italia Film Festival.
Yes!
With Landis.
The Italia, that's right, with Landis.
That's
the
right.
I'm fine.
Okay,
I'm good.
All right.
That's right.
But yes, that's where it was, the last one, was the Italian Film Festival. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And then...
Before then, the fireman, and yeah.
And then we were talking about Dealing with Idiots
anyway,
at the film festival.
Yes,
I
right.
asked you about it, and then you just kind of were like, yeah, I'm doing a movie.
But the truth is, until I've done something,
yeah.
you know, now I'll talk about it all you want.
Uh-huh.
But, you know... Until something's done, you don't want to talk about it.
It's kind of like your character in the movie, though, in Dealing with Idiots. You're talking in the movie. You're like, it may happen. It may not. I don't
know. I thought that point of view was just funny because everyone around me thinks that I'm filming that day.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
What's this based off of? What's
my experiences watching, being at my kids' baseball games.
And
the parents were shameful. And so I said to my wife, we need to do she has to support me, do a movie about it.
Mm-hmm. So she didn't, like, none of that was, like, exaggerate. People is really, there's a lot
no,
of
no,
shouting.
No, people are worse.
Shouting
people
and
are worse.
Overmanagement, worse than that.
Here's the thing I've learned about stand-up, television, movies. Sometimes when you put the true thing, people don't believe it.
Right.
They think it's no.
Yeah.
So you don't want people thinking about, is that real or not real,
yeah.
even though you know it's real.
Uh-huh.
So, truthfully, I toned it down in this movie.
Yeah,
I
coach baseball, and there are some interesting parents. They're very interesting.
Who make your job extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not my biggest fans. No, no, no. They don't like the lineups ever. They're very into it. They're all like Tim McCarver. They're all very into it.
Yeah, and all you're trying to do is get everybody to play, have a good time.
That's right.
Learn.
That's right. You just want all the kids to have the same amount of at-bats and try to have fun. And you know, so that was interesting.
Was there ever a time
where
you had a kid on your team, you're like, I just don't like that kid?
Yeah, there was a kid I didn't like, but he was too good not to play.
Oh, well, that's a different
thing. That's usually the kid.
He was one of those asshole all-stars.
The biggest asshole kid on the team is usually the star of the team, so you can't do
anything. Do you know how much I enjoy being on with you guys?
Do you?
Oh, I really do.
I'm glad.
You can say what you want on the show. You can
say what I want on any show.
Yeah. Okay.
Conan, it doesn't matter.
All right.
But the point being is I like being on with you guys.
Oh, thanks.
I've grown an affection.
Is it a Chicago thing?
Yeah.
The Chicago thing helps. You're wearing a Blackhawk shirt.
That's right.
Please,
that's right.
Okay. But, no, I just really enjoy my time with you.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry I didn't go to the Detroit hot dog place. I ended up going there one night after.
Did you?
Do you still broadcast from there?
No, we now do it from Joe Montana's, Day Chicago.
Oh, you go from Day Chicago? Right. When are you there?
We're there every Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Really?
And I'll be there Monday with John Barrowman. Wednesday we got David Koechner when we're going to play we're going to play you and Koechner boost the ratings for your movie.
Big week for us because we're going to play the interview during the Koechner show.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
that's
right. I love Koechner.
Yeah, and
you're at Tay Chicago.
Yeah, Joe's the best.
Joe is just a gentleman, a great guy.
Great guy.
I love him.
Yeah, Mike Binder went to go do a film, and he changed ownership in the restaurant. So we left, and then we went to Joe's.
They changed ownership.
Yeah.
Did Adam Sandler sell?
Like a Greek joint now.
Well, now they're selling
shawarma.
Shawarma
and hot dogs.
So does Binder have nothing to do with it anymore?
No.
No. I don't know what about the other investors, but it's still a great place for great Detroit-style shawarma if you ever go there.
Right. Great Greek shawarma.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they do have a famous Greek town in Detroit.
Do they?
I used to go.
In Detroit?
Yeah, yep.
I haven't been to Detroit in forever. And now they're bankrupt.
Now they're bankrupt.
now there's really no reason to go. I was going to tell you, by the way,
What are you doing?
He's taking pictures,
okay,
I think.
Okay.
Congratulations on the weight loss. I saw you on Bill Maher, like it was last year, I think. And I lost a ton of weight, and then you were losing the weight. So good job keeping it up, too.
You too, my handsome friend.
You kept it up. I'm proud of you.
Yes.
What, no sugars?
No
like
sugar,
that?
No wheat, no fast food.
Yeah.
A limited amount of lotion.
So you've cut out the wheat completely.
Wheat completely. I'm not worried about gluten per se.
Yeah.
But wheat, if it says wheat.
I'm with you. I'm the same way. It's not a gluten thing. It's just wheat goes straight to your stomach and it sits there. And do you work out too?
I exercise.
What's that?
I'm a gentle lovemaker. I do it all.
I'm very happy to see that you've kept off the weight. Did you do it? You didn't do it for
now,
the film.
You to take pictures, you don't need to undo that. Did you know that?
Oh, to do the password?
Yeah, here, give it to me.
Jeff
I'll show
knows
you.
More about the iPhones than we do.
Oh, that's his new phone.
Trust me. Okay, so you turn it on.
Uh-huh.
This will be interesting for your listeners.
Yeah.
You press there, and all you got to do is go there.
Oh, look at that.
There's the camera.
Okay. I don't own one of these handy phones.
Well, there you go.
I just shout from the tallest hill I can find for my communication.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So dealing with idiots, you got this killer cast. Okay.
Yes.
How much, because obviously your wife's a famous casting director, Marla Garland.
Yeah.
How much of this is casting through her and through you? How did this come together with the cast?
Most of the people in the movie I had in mind when I was writing it.
Yeah.
And I called them myself. Some my wife had a contact, even if I called them myself, my wife had a contact all their agents.
Yeah.
And she found the kid for me who plays my son.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Timothy Oliphant, he's like the one non-improv guy of the group,
and he did a great job improvising, but that's also maybe the most arrogant thing I've ever done in my career, to say playing my dead father is Timothy Oliphant, because I'm truly his ugly son. He is a handsome, handsome man.
So what's your relationship with Timothy Oliphant, though? I found this interesting.
Well, I like using the word acquaintance.
Okay.
I mean, I'd like to say we're friends.
Yeah.
And I think we will be friends or are more friendly. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to have the balls to say we're friends.
Yeah, right.
I can call him. I can email him. We're acquainted with one another, and we're building a friendship over time. I respect him professionally, and personally, I've come to like the person that I've that I've gotten to know.
Where'd you meet him? Like, how'd this
we
how'd
met?
This come
I met
about?
Him at what premiere? Oh, what was the name of that movie? Judd Apatow produced it about the pot smoking.
Oh, Wanderlust, right?
No.
Pineapple.
Pineapple Express.
Okay.
I met him at the premiere of Pineapple Express.
And it just kind of grew from there.
Yeah, we talked and we had a mutual admiration festival. We had, and then we've had coffee a couple times.
Is that how those things happen? Is it like a Hollywood thing where you're like, I love your work? Is it like the Giovanni Ribisi film?
Speaking of, I met Giovanni Ribisi, and he actually, we had a mutual admiration thing, to be honest with you. But it's not, no one ever uses the phrase, I love your work.
Yeah, right.
Well, but, you know, I really dig you.
It's
or,
cliche. You have to find another wording because people know.
Well, I don't think anyone ever actually says,
I love
Robert your work.
Don't think Robert Evans ever used it? Maybe Robert
no,
Evans.
No, no, maybe Robert Evans.
Love your work?
I love
you
your
bet
work.
I do.
You bet. Wait, did I see him in that day? Yes, I did. Did I notice him looking at me? Oh, yes. Did I go over and approach him? You bet I did.
Yes, there you go. Yeah.
That's absolutely
that's the greatest
right.
audio book in the history
oh, yeah.
of man.
Ever.
It's ludicrous.
Ever.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing another one. He has another book coming out. I hope it's an audio form.
So.
By the way, you know I opened the movie in Chicago at the Music Box.
I saw.
Yes,
I saw. You were
and
there
I hope I open
week?
All my movies. Yeah, last week in Chicago at the Music
How
Box.
How great is the Music Box?
The Music Box is magnificent.
It's a classic.
And I even filmed some of I Want Someone to Eat Cheese With at the Music
Over
Box.
Over there in
right.
Southport.
That's right.
That's
yep.
right. Someone to Eat Cheese With had so many Chicago locations.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's Chicago.
It's a Chicago movie.
Yeah.
You did the North Side proud with that movie.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm glad I did.
You represented it really well.
Yeah.
Music Box screenings last week. You were at all of them, I hear, right? Or
well, Friday and Saturday. Four of them
okay.
last week, yeah.
Packed audiences. People are
packed
really
packed audiences.
It.
I couldn't get enough.
Did you do a Q&A?
I did a Q&A.
What
two
was,
of them.
What was like the weirdest question someone asked you at the Q&A? Did anyone ask you weird questions, or were they all pretty smart?
They were all pretty smart. Someone asked me who my favorite wrestler was,
oh,
but
man.
I knew that was my brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what was your response?
Yeah,
Dick the Bruiser.
Dick the Bruiser. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Dick yeah. the Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
That's is that who it was? Or no? Or was Dick Bruiser? Bruiser Brody was another wrestler.
Yeah. You're the
Dick
huge
the
wrestling
Bruiser,
fan.
Dick yeah. the Bruiser is from the 70s and 60s.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So let me then ask you. So you did the Music Box. What was the best question someone asked you?
I don't remember
was there a
these
question
things.
That, like, wowed you?
I very much enjoyed them. I don't, you know, if I took the questions with me,
yeah.
Some kid stood up and said, I've never seen your TV show, never seen any of your movies, but now after tonight, I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, that's good.
That was my favorite statement.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because you always want to get new fans.
Yeah, but that's one thing I remember, really.
It's good to take statements yeah. when you do these things.
Yeah, man, who was
well, there's always statements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who? Oh, by the way, the Goldbergs looks fantastic.
All right.
I wanted to let you
so
know.
So when you're on Curb Your
yeah.
thank you, by the way.
Yeah.
When you're on Curb Your Enthusiasm and you get a script for a network show.
Yeah.
Generally, they stink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to – by the way, I can still do Curb Your Enthusiasm. I made sure of that. But I'm not going to go do some show that's not great.
Yeah.
I'm blown away by how great the Goldbergs is. Now, mind you, it is a network show, so it's tamer. It's more family-oriented. But it's a wonderful show,
right.
And I'm so excited about doing it.
Well, it's got a Wonder Years vibe to it.
Well, it's got a very much, it's like, it's an 80s
yeah.
sort of, but crossed with a little All in the Family. And
yeah.
I play like an Archie Bunkery kind of guy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
great. That's great for you. That's
yeah.
right up your alley.
Yeah.
So you don't have to stretch too much for that
no,
one, no?
No, I don't. I'm all good.
So let's talk about more about dealing with idiots here. You got Gina Gershon. You got
yeah.
Jamie Gertz. You got Fred Willard. You
Terry
got Richard Kine. And,
yeah.
Yeah, Terry Kine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Reno 911. So this film, you get this amazing cast. How much of it is improv? How much of it's a script?
The entire thing is improvised.
Really? So when
so
you
much
and
so
Peter
that none
together,
of the actors, so much that none of the actors saw the script.
Really?
I just told them before each scene what we were going to be about to do.
So you and Peter got together and outlined it.
Yes.
Okay. And then after the outline, you basically just came to Fred Willard and you go, "We're going to check out that hot babe in the first row." Or
it's
how,
more
how'd
that
than
go? That.
Yeah.
It's more than that. I'm saying to him, "We're going to talk about. We're going to have an exchange with J.B. Smoove. I have no idea what that's going to be.
Right. Never do.
And then we'll talk about that." and then I'm going to go down and talk to the nanny, so we'll talk about the hot nanny and my obsession with her. That's the entire direction.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then when what did guys like Fred Willard and Richard Kind bring to the table? What I thought was interesting was, it's funny you said the parents at baseball games are bigger idiots than they are even in this movie. Like,
right.
They're even bigger idiots.
Right.
I found, like, Richard Kind's character and Fred Willard's character, you almost had some sympathy for them.
Yeah.
They were sad.
Yeah, they were sad.
But I wanted to just bring levels to it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and so what did characters like that, though, add to the piece? You said levels.
Levels.
Yeah. So
there you go.
There it is.
I answered it. Levels, right. Yeah. I think a movie's more interesting with different types of characters. If they were all so stupid,
yeah,
and so frustrating, that makes the movie a bit more frustrating.
Right. Some of them are really bad people. They're just kind of sad.
Do you have a favorite bit in this film?
I guess the only one that's really kind of a jerk is Hezekiah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Steve Agee.
Steve Agee's kind of a jerk off. Yeah. but he's interesting, too, because there is always that jerk off parent. But
right.
But when you got Fred Willard, for instance, I mean, you got a guy who's brought over all this from Christopher Guest, and he pretty much improvs in all his films because people
right.
know to let him do it. What do they bring to the table? Do they give you any kind of like tips or anything, or are you
well,
just the master
give me tips.
By now because you're on
I'm
curve?
I'm not a master, and they don't give me tips. So I just know I can count on them in the scene to make the most of a scene. But you have to understand, the only person in the movie that I could say this about is I'll be acting with Fred Willard, and I'll think to myself, oh, my God, I'm working with Fred Willard.
Yeah.
I'm improvising with Fred Willard because he was from Fernwood Tonight and America Tonight. He was like one of my influences.
Oh, wow.
So to work with someone who's an influence of yours, that's crazy.
Did you ever, have you ever, obviously probably met Fred, but you never worked with Fred before this, have
no,
you?
No, I worked with Fred a
you
bunch
did? Wait,
before
when
this.
Did you with? When did
I
you work with him?
I was on Mad About You with him.
Oh.
We were on something else together. I worked with Fred
so
a bunch.
You guys known each other a
yes,
long time.
Yes, I worked with Fred a bunch, yes.
So this
but
is,
that still doesn't take
still,
away.
Yeah.
The
so
Fred
it will. Still doesn't wear off. You're still like,
no.
I'm in a scene with Fred Willard.
Well, always.
He's got this vibe about him.
No, that's
he's
great.
Fred Willard.
Yeah.
Man.
I feel that way about Richard Kind, too. I feel like Richard Kind's
but Richard
one of
and
guys.
I came up
sure.
together.
Right.
And by the way, I'm lucky to work with Richard Kind. I'm in awe of Richard Kind.
Yeah, he's great.
That's one of my favorite scenes when we're looking at the pictures and the mailman comes in.
With the soldier.
Yeah. So I love Richard, but Richard's one of my closest friends. I'm friends with Fred, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, Richard, I've known Richard since he was in Second City.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not the same thing.
Sure.
Even though I'm in awe of Richard's talent.
Yeah, you know, Richard's great. There's a funny scene for you in the movie. Your character has a real good chance to shine. It's at the end. I don't want to ruin the ending.
Right.
But even if you could talk about vaguely, how did you decide to end this movie? Because you got to admit, it's out there. The ending's out there, right?
Way out
it's
there.
It's out there.
Yeah, and
so
I'm
where
sure.
does this come from?
It comes from a combination of things. One was that hugging thing, okay?
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that, is actually true.
That happened for you.
I was coaching third base, and they said, don't touch the child.
Yeah.
And I was in shock that they made something innocent creepy.
Oh.
So I just took that to another level. And then I'm a big Fellini fan, so you throw that in. And also, my character at that point in the movie is so against the wall. All the things that he could be arrested for, all the things that he could get in trouble for, unless you want to put another 20 minutes in the movie and resolve all of it, you do what I did.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. All right. I understand it a little more. I mean, the ending is very, very interesting. I mean, I would tell people when they see this film, don't automatically judge the ending walking out of the theater. Think about it.
Yeah.
Sit on it.
Sit
on
it.
Sit
on it. Stand on it. Nap on it.
Lee
meditate.
And I talked about
get
it
down
like,
on it.
Right.
Lee and I talked
get
about this film
it.
For like 2 hours last night.
Oh gosh, that's such a nice compliment.
We yeah.
Thank you.
So the Fellini ending sort of like an 8.5 when everyone is just sort of
stop.
Partying. All right.
What are you doing?
Oh,
I just took care of everything.
Our listeners haven't seen 8.5. please.
By the way, you're totally right. They have it. And by the way, all day long, I was listening to soundtrack to Amarachord.
Yeah.
Like, I had our sound guy playing it out loud.
Yeah.
And that got me worked up.
On vinyl?
And I came up with it. Mm-hmm. No, we weren't listening on vinyl on the set. I have it on vinyl at home.
I believe it.
Amarachord.
But I was inspired by that, so I sort of rewrote that part of the ending to do that.
Right.
Oh, wow.
It's a little like the ending of Amarachord, except there's not as many breasts in dealing with the idiots.
There's a good amount of breasts, but they're not naked.
No. Right.
I'm the first person ever to have three playmates in a movie dressed.
That's very nice of you. You're a charitable man.
Well, you know, the thing is, I just
giving playmates work
a different. You know, imagine being somebody who wants to act and wants to work, but the only way someone will let you work is if you show them your breasts.
Oh, that's me. Yeah. Yeah, that's what people ask for all the time.
Not anymore. Yeah. He's slimmed down. He doesn't have them anymore.
No, but I, you know, and so it wasn't that I felt bad for them. It's just like these are nice little roles for them to shine.
Yeah.
And I was happy.
Sure. And so the three playmates, the nanny, I'm guessing. Okay.
Yes, Hope DeWarsick.
The wife of Fred Willard, or the ex-wife of Fred Willard.
Yes, that's Hiromi.
Hiromi. Okay, she's really hot.
She's beautiful. First Japanese centerfold ever.
And then who was the third playmate? Can we guess who the
third playmate was? The women at J.B. Smooth's? Or were they?
Oh, that's probably right. The podcaster?
Yeah.
No, that's Natasha Leggero. She's a stand-up.
She's a stand-up. She could be a playmate.
They could be playmates.
She's the chocolateer.
Deanne Brooks.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay, so there's your three stand-ups. I mean, your three...
playmates.
Yeah, they could playmates. Do stand-up.
Yeah.
They should do stand-up.
It's a little bit the same, the vocation.
How much does music inspire your work? Because I know you're a big music guy. You're like me. You're at the record store all the time. I've actually seen you at the record store, and I'll just keep walking past. Because you seem very in the mode when you're at the record store. It's like, don't bother Jeff. He's like in a different zone.
I'm in a zone, but I'm not thinking that I'm Jeff Garland and people are coming up to me. So when people do, it takes me out of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. People know who I am.
Yeah,
that's pretty much my day.
So music influence.
Music is a huge influence.
Yeah.
Larry Goldings did the soundtrack. He's a jazz pianist and organist. And he's fabulous and wonderful. And to have him do my score was great.
That's great.
And the ending, listening to Nina Rota, you know, was very influential on this movie. But I'm influenced at home when I listen to music and I'm writing. That completely has an influence on me. And I can find completely inspiring.
That's great. So are you going to keep making films in Chicago? Is that the goal?
This one was in L.A., but I'm planning on next summer shooting a movie in Chicago.
You're going to do a Chicago film?
Yeah, I'm going to do a Chicago. I'm going to do two kinds of films. Excuse me, a little mini burp. The films I'm going to do are improvised like this, but there'll be a much smaller cast and far less locations. And I hope to do one of those every year in Chicago.
That'd be great.
That'd be interesting.
And then I'm going to write movies, full-on write movies. And I'm going to look for financing and try and get them made. And those will be shot. I'd love to shoot those in Chicago, but they'll be shot anywhere it fits.
Did you do improv in Chicago?
I was in Second City.
I was too, yeah. Okay, that's why I was wondering if you're Second City or an improv guy. Improv Olympic. Okay. So that's great. So that'd be really fascinating to do too in Chicago, doing a small improv film.
Every single year, you can do them.
You can do them very affordably now,
and
you don't have to raise a ton of money.
Right.
And they look great.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to pay for them myself.
Really?
If the Goldbergs is successful, I'll be financing my own movies myself.
That's a reason to support the Goldbergs.
The way you look past.
Not yet.
Yeah. No, they did.
Oh,
they,
no, she did give me the eyeball?
She gave me the whirly finger.
Well, Jeff, you're welcome to come over to Chicago anytime you want.
By the way, I will.
Yeah.
So contact me and I'll
come by anytime you want.
No. Well, actually, that's the problem. I'm going full on.
No, I do the chopped salad.
No, he gets the salad.
Yeah, but you know. Man, by the way, it's not tempting for me, but they have everything Chicago
there.
And it's a big bowl of wrong, but it's a big bowl of right, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. The Polish.
But gentlemen, a joy.
Thank you, Jeff,
thank you very
so much.
Right,
enjoy
Dealing
the
with
look.
Idiots. Hey. Video on demand, in theaters as well.
Yeah, iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes.
My backyard.
Is it Amazon, too? Is
Amazon too,
as well?
Yes, all there.
And if you're in Chicago, go to the Music Box.
Yeah.
Still
no,
there,
it's
right?
not. It closes. I think it closed. Yeah, probably closed.
Thursday.
It did. Okay. So, yeah. But Jeff Garland, thank you very much. Dealing with Idiots.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. All right. That was Jeff Garland.
All right.
And Lee Caprae is going to be at Corky's tonight. Sherman Oaks.
7 o'clock.
Sun Van Nuys.
Yep.
And we'll have a show for
Free
you
show.
Next week. We don't know who the guests are yet, but after John Barrowman, David Koechner, Jeff Garland, come on, we're on a roll.
We're slugging it out of the park here, people. Come on.
I just talked to Nick Searcy. I'm putting him and Koechner in touch.
Okay.
As soon as Pat gives me Koechner's email that I can't find anywhere.
That we can't find anywhere. Nick works for us.
Maybe I'll just have Tobias do it. Pat, yeah. Pat, put Koechner and Nick in touch. I was promised a set invite to acting school with Nick Searcy when Koechner and Nick do there. So it needs to happen.
That's nice.
I got a set invite here, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be in a scene. Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Thank you once again, 603 North Hollywood Way, Tay, Chicago. Thank you, Arlene Montaigne, for having us, as always. Come on by, have a Maxwell Street, have a Chicago dog, have some mini deep dish, have some deep dish in general, have a pizza by the slice, Italia. Oh, Koechner had the Italian beef that looked
right.
Like it had mayo on it.
Right.
Whatever
floats your boat, David.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat, David. And I'm going to finish my chopped salad, and I'm going to say goodbye to all you people. You can now download us. And download past episodes, including our highest-rated episode with John Barrowman. You could download us at www.thematthewaronshow.com, which I suspect you may be on already if you're listening to this. So thank you very much, and we will see you next week.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.